Welcome back to another episode of Into the 99 podcast, where we got 99 cards because Commander is number one. I am your necromancer with all the answers, Necrozag, joined by my lovely hosts, Lotus and Dan. How are you guys doing today?
Hello, doing very well. How are you?
I am doing well, thank you. And Daniel?
I'm doing good as well. Excited to look through this list. We've got a really interesting deck tech. I generally like all of Zach's deck techs when he does it. Zach and Lotus both inspire me with cards I wouldn't play a lot. So when I started looking through this list initially, I'm just very excited. So Zach, I'll let you introduce it. We want to get right into it. You can say our thank yous and everything, but I'm excited about this list.
Sure. because you want to get right into it, let's save thank yous for later. So if you feel like you're going to be involved in the thank you list, you got to listen to the very end. Dan, because you're pumped, I want you to actually read the commander.
All right. So let me pull it back up here. We have, it is Nihilur. So it's the one of the alternate commanders in the precons from D&D. And again, I just have to say it because I can't say it enough. These were amazing products. They blew blew me out of the water with expectations. They saved the set, in my opinion. The set I thought was kind of meh. The power creep was really, really down in it. It wasn't a ton of great cards. But the commander sets were just amazing. All of the decks out of the box are super fun to play. And I'm seeing more and more how really cool that these alt commanders can be and stuff. So Zach obviously went with this one because it's built into his playstyle of stealing things or reanimating things. That's what Zach does. So again,
or cloning.
so we'll go right into it. It is the Esper alternate commander. It's Nihilur. I might be saying it wrong, but that's how I'm saying it. Nihilur. It's a giant octopus looking thing. It's a legendary horror creature. What were you saying, Lotus?
It's a mind flayer, isn't it?
I think it is, but it looks like a giant octopus, so that's what I'm calling it.
it's a Cthulhu, man.
Octo flayer. Nihilur is 2 and Esper, so white, blue, and black. For a legendary horror, 3/5, when it enters the battlefield, for each opponent, tap up to one untapped creature you control. When you do, gain control of target creature that player controls with power less than or equal to the tap creature's power for as long as you control Nihilur. Whenever you attack with a creature an opponent controls, you gain 2 life and that player loses 2 life. It's a really, really interesting steal interaction that I think Zach probably found a good way to break.
Yes. Like I told Dan, I typically try not to build very cancerously, but with this deck, it's very cancerous. if I offend anyone with this deck list, I'm not really sorry because I had such a fun time building it. This is one of those decks I can't play over spell tables, so I'm very much looking forward to going to the LGS to play it with some friends. So there's a lot to unpack with this commander, right? There's a lot of different ways you could go with it. I've focused on the blink and theft specific stuff for this deck because sometimes our creatures aren't going to be big enough to take other creatures, but we have other abilities and spells that will steal other people's creatures, so we're constantly going to try to abuse the second clause of whenever you attack with a creature an opponent owns, you gain 2 life and that player loses 2 life. But we are also going to be blinking stuff to hopefully constantly build on the power of our creatures so we can steal things and untapping shenanigans because they'll come back in untapped.
Before you even get into it, I'm already sold on it because you can Panharmonicon and take like 6 creatures.
You can. I didn't go that route, I'll be honest.
You're a better person than me. You're a better person than me, and I respect that.
Not because I'm a better person, just because at the time, I built all this deck off of store credit that I had left over. So if I didn't have the cards, Panharmonicon was out of some of the cards I really, really wanted to play because I wanted to put in some D&D cards that I didn't own. Panharmonicon was either that or a card when I get to, I'll point out, and I was like, I really want to play with this new card instead. Panharmonicon should go in this deck, but for now it's not in the deck. So go ahead, Lotus.
If you want to know a bit sidetrack here, if you want to know a bit about Nihilur, they were a mind flayer that worked for the Xanathar's Thieves Guild in the 15th century. So it is actually a main character in the D&D universe as well.
That's cool.
That is awesome.
So
working
in the Thieves Guild, the flavor of the commander fits exactly what his job was.
And you talked about a card that's already in here, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that. First and foremost, we're going to start with probably my favorite section. It's the theft section. So at the very top of the list, I've had this guy for a while, and he's just super, super fun. It's Agent of Treachery. It's 5BB for a human rogue that's a 2/3. When ETBs, you gain control of target permanent. So right off the rip, got to stop, you know, record players, scratched, all that good stuff. Target permanent when this ETBs. That's insane. If we're obviously going to be a kind of creature heavy deck because we want to be able to tap creatures to steal creatures. So if we're playing against someone like Dan who just happens to have a Gaia's Cradle.
I was going to say, it is whose Gaia's Cradle? Our Gaia's Cradle. Yeah, no, I exactly. Love that. That's literally the first thing I thought. I was like, I'll just take those Gaia's Cradle with this. I love Agent of Treachery.
Yeah, Agent of Treachery is super sick, and it's one of those creatures, too, where a lot of the time you see, like, you gain control of target creature or permanent for as long as you control this creature. That's not how Agent of Treachery works. For 7 mana, you're getting it. So that's the first line of text. The second line of text is, at the beginning of your end step, if you control 3 or more permanents you don't own, you draw 3 cards. Fun fact, when we get to 7 mana, we are going to at least have 2 other permanents that we don't own, but we do control. So Agent Treachery is going to be a really fun card for us that is probably going to upset a lot of other people, but this deck is going to be very salty. Sorry, it's a pretzel, and there's a lot of salt on it.
True.
Ooh, absolutely.
I can't believe that was a 50p rare.
Yeah.
Agent of Treachery?
Yeah, that used to be a jank rare. People used to literally throw them at me because they used to hate them, and then all of a sudden it found a place.
I cracked tons, and I really, really was stuffing them into decks right around when Chu Lane was a thing. So, like, they're in all of my Blink decks because I'm like, yeah, this is a great card. And everyone's like, eh, it's so high mana cost. I'm like, you take every permanent you want, and I'm blinking it. What are we talking about?
And card draw. That's super important. I don't even have it in the card draw section, but it is a very, very good source of card draw.
It is a good source of card draw. I forgot it does that. The next one I also really, really like. I love playing this one, Beguiler of Wills. It's 3 and double blue. Tap, gain control of target creature with power less than or equal to the number of creatures you control. It's so easy to steal people's stuff. And again, permanent steal.
Yes.
Yeah.
With blue anyways, there are a lot of different ways that you can untap creatures. Even with colorless, there's a lot of different ways to untap creatures. I don't have as many of the untap shenanigans in this deck outside of just straight blinking, and we don't have a lot of haste, but when you can get to the momentum swing of just being able to take people's commanders or their Eldrazi because they're bad people and play them, it feels pretty good.
Well, you're seeing a lot of, as well right now, I'm seeing a ton of decks that are playing low power stuff like the Voltron-esque kind of decks. You're seeing lots of Rafik, lots of the Gallia, lots of Prosper kind of decks. And Beguiler of Wills taking a commander is going to be really, really rough for the table to recover from because you're going to get those benefits. Like, Beguiler of Wills is just a great card. And if you can take, it's really, really fun to get like a Tendershoot Dryad or something because somebody doesn't realize that you have something like this. I run Beguiler in Anala, and it is just such a great card.
See, this deck is already the reason I run Homeward Path in every deck I own.
Homeward Path is such a good card.
It's getting expensive, too, because of strategies like this, and it hasn't had like a meaningful reprint. Yes. Because if I'm not stealing, I'm reanimating, so like...
Yeah, that's fair. I mean,
same thing.
I love this next card, though. I drafted this in the Modern Horizons 2 draft and paired it with Karth One-Eye.
Yes. I was super excited about this card when it was spoiled. I'm still bummed people aren't as high on it as they should be, but Lotus, you want to tell the audience what we're talking about?
So it's Dermataxi, 2 colorless for an artifact vehicle, 0/0, imprint. As it enters the battlefield, exile a creature card from your graveyard.
A graveyard.
I forget that myself. Tap 2 untapped creatures you control. Until end of turn, Dermataxi becomes a copy of the exiled card, except it's a vehicle artifact in addition to its other types. Which is why it was so good in the Modern Horizons 2 draft, because I copied Karth the One-Eye.
Right.
Karth the One-Eye only lets you do one of each that it taps for each instance of the card. But each turn, it's a new instance, so you can make more Black Lotuses every single turn, or whatever you want to do.
Exactly. What's sweet about Dermataxi in this deck is it functions in multiple different levels. So right off the bat, we have a creature and a vehicle that's stealing a creature, which is awesome. So anything you want to, you know, get multiple uses out of, or something that someone else has like gotten rid of, or a problematic card that was a creature on the table, you can just have that. It also acts as graveyard hate, right? I don't want to see, you know, I know anyone playing black is going to try to reanimate something. So if I see something hit the grave, like from a, I don't know, an entomb or something, I'm going to dermotaxi as soon as possible and take that specific card because they're going to try to do something with it. Whether it's useful at the moment or not, it's still a good way to graveyard hate. We're going to be blinking in this deck quite a bit. We have a whole section to go over about that. So we're going to get multiple instances too of where this card is just going to come back as something new when it best suits us. Well, and we're going to be able to tap and untap.
The other thing too is I was going to say as well, there's a ton of like Wonder just got a reprint and stuff, right? You're seeing that show up a lot more, and being able to get rid of those, like you said, you can blink, so you can just hate out a good card like an Anger or a Wonder, any of those things. It's I think it's a really, really interesting card to be running in a deck like this, because it does, with blink spells, especially in these colors, you have basically instant answers to get stuff out of my grave that I want or need. A lot of the time, I really like to, I play a lot of discard reset kind of decks with the Titans, and losing one of them to, hey, like I'll quickly blink my creature in and out would really be rough, because yeah, sure, I'll get my shuffle, but never again.
Right, because I mean, you can respond to the shuffle on the stack.
Yeah, and how many times can I put the Titans in decks, right? I'm running out of them, guys. Come on.
it basically serves the same purpose as like a Scavenging Ooze when you're not in green.
With it being two mana and being able to take some of our smaller creatures, or like let's just say we've stolen some mana dorks, I'm not going to use the mana dorks to pump mana. I'm going to actually tap them to activate my dermotaxi and hit you with like an 8/8 or something stupid.
Yeah, an Ulamog, the Ceaseless Hunger, and exile 20 cards in my library.
It would hurt. You deserved it.
It hurts so bad. Yeah, I often do.
I really thought about putting Oblivion Sower in this deck for instances like that, but I didn't.
The next one you have on the list is Gonti, and Gonti should go in literally every steel kind of deck. Two double black Gonti Lord of Luxury, 2/3 Aetherborn Rogue. Love the card, by the way. Death Touch, when it enters, look at the top four cards of target opponent's library, exile one of them face down, then put the rest on the bottom in a random order. You may look at and cast that card for as long as it remains exiled, and you may spend mana as or mana of any type to cast it. I love it.
Something that's to like kind of important to note, we have two cards that I'm aware of in all of Magic that interact with the exile zone to return them, and they both specify that the card has to be face up. So with Gonti, once they're exiled, they're exiled. There's no way for them to return it. Sometimes you just get lucky and steal something you know that person needs. Other times you just like they never know. Like it makes you, it's a fun like mind games type of card too, because sometimes you just like you take the card and do they really want a demonic tutor to see what you took?
Well, if they've got even the memory for it. Someone got my pardon me, someone got my Lionized Diamond last night with Gonti. Sitting there trying to do an Oriok Salvagers combo. Nope.
Not today.
Yeah.
Not up
from
in
Eternity
here.
And Rift Sweeper is from Face Up.
Yep, that's what I thought. Next on the list is one of my favorite cards from Ikoria. It's Gyruda, Doom of Depths. It's 4 hybrid blue-black. It's a legendary creature, Demon Kraken. It's a 6/6. It has Companion, but we're not dealing with Companion. What we're worried about is its second line of text. It's when Gyruda enters the battlefield, each player puts the top 4 cards of their library into their graveyard. Put a creature card with an even CMC from among those cards onto the battlefield under your control. This hits everything. This is all of our, this, you know, this is each person. So at worst case, you're making people mill. So Dermotaxi now has more targets, as well as just being able to just get a free creature.
And again, a permanent. I like that. It's not until you lose Gyruda. Actually, I haven't seen Gyruda played in a single game ever.
I'm very high on this card.
I'm trying to build it as a commander at the moment.
It's really sweet. I've played it in a lot of different decks. It's a lot of fun.
The next one on your list is also a pretty cool card, Helm of Possession. Artifact with 4. That's Volrath on there, hey?
Yes, it is.
That's what I thought, yeah. You may choose not to untap it during your untap phase. 2 and a tap, sack a creature, gain control of target creature as long as you control Helm of Possession. and it remains tapped. That's pretty cool.
So what I like about this card is you can take a creature you own and just sacrifice it to gain control of a different creature. So I'm sorry, you control. So like I can take one of the creatures that I've stolen from someone else, sacrifice it to take something from someone else. So it's duality, right? Like I can take someone's stuff to take someone else's stuff. And if there's just a problem creature, like I don't want an Avacyn on the field, it has indestructible. Like I can take it and sacrifice it to take someone else's something just to put it in a graveyard.
I mean, the synergy between this card is you can steal something, sack a creature, and then Dermataxi it.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At the Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out the Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
It's a really salty way, I think, to remove someone's stuff. Because, like, how I always look at it is I want to be able to sack someone else's creature that I've already stolen to steal someone else's creature.
Well, the other thing, too, is that, like, with the Nihilor's ability, it's really, really easy for you to, you know, tap it and take my Birds of Paradise. Then you sacrifice my Birds of Paradise to take my commander. Gross.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Lines like that are what we're here for, guys.
Yeah. It's... Losing your commander is really rough in a game, and people have just really, really stopped protecting their commander as much.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. And we have answers if people think their commanders are protected, because I assure you they're not. They are not.
I also love Hostage Taker. Yeah, I gotta take that one. Notice it's, I love it. Got a big playmat of it. Two, and then we have Dimir, so one blue, one black for a 2/3 human pirate. Enters the battlefield, exile another target, creature, or artifact until it leaves the battlefield. You can cast it for as long as it remains exiled, and you can spend mana as though it were mana of any type. I love it. It's great to steal people's soul rings. It's very funny.
Mm-hmm. And they had to update the rules text on that because it caused an infinite loop with itself.
Oh? What did it do?
So when it entered the battlefield, exile target creature.
Mm-hmm.
They've only just added another target creature, because if Hostage Taker was the only thing entering the battlefield, it'd exile itself, then re-enter, then exile itself, and re-enter.
Oh, yeah, so that's fun.
So they had to re-errata the rules.
I love that. I didn't even know that.
This card, as well, my friend played last night in a table. This was the pretext of the game. Hey, this player's new, so let's try have like a nice friendly game. And we're like, yeah, no problem. I was going to play Shabraz and Braylon. I was like, you know what? I'll put it away. We'll play some Multani. Nice, straight, basic land ramp. Nope. My friend pulls out Urtei Control with like this. So beside me, we have new player, another like seasoned player playing Prosper. Then we have Urtei Control. I'm playing Multani, and then Angus McKenzie to prevent all combat damage. Our first game last night was 3.5 hours long with like a new player, and they just really, really abuse this card. I won't go into this one. Zach, you could read this one. It was, yeah, he's got a big foil one. He's all happy about it because of crazy price spike, but ugh, gross card.
So I'm probably going to butcher the name, but it's Marik Rebrait. White, blue, black, so an Esper. It's a legendary creature, human, 1/1. It doesn't untap during your untap step. You can tap it to gain control of target creature for as long as we control this creature. And when it leaves the leaves the battlefield or becomes untapped, you destroy that creature and it can't be regenerated.
Rough.
So this is yet another way that we can just steal people's stuff. And if it's problematic and you're afraid it's going to stay on the battlefield, because that is a thing, right? Just because you steal someone's thing doesn't mean you're necessarily wanting to use it. It might just be so problematic that it just needs to go. You know, this deck can be used for good, like the good of the table. Like, all right, we just don't want that Eldrazi sticking around. We're going to get rid of it. I'm going to blink this Dermotaxi to make sure it stays gone.
Not the game I was playing. This was an Intruder Alarm, Stony Brook Schoolmaster, or whatever that untap make. Yeah. Play with some real animals.
You do.
It's a fun game, though. Welcome to the stack, new player.
Wow.
Lotus, do you want to take this next one?
So this is one of the new ones from the D&D set, Mind Flayer. 3 blue-blue for a creature horror. 3/3. And it has Dominance Monster, or Dominate Monster. When the Mind Flayer enters the battlefield, gain control of target creature for as long as you control Mind Flayer.
I like that.
Simple. Just good clean. Yeah, good clean stealing. Yeah.
Yep.
So this next card is one that I've been looking for homes for quite a while, and I finally found it. I'm so happy.
Unique artwork, yeah.
Yes, it is. It's Phyrexian Infiltrator. It's 2 and a black for a creature minion. It's a 2/2. It has an activated ability of 2 blue-blue. You exchange control of Phyrexian Infiltrator and target creature.
I like that.
Oh, buddy. There are some stupid things you can do with this card, because you can just... You can exchange control, and then you can blink Phyrexian Infiltrator, and it comes back to you.
Ooh, that's rough. I like that a lot.
Yes,
that's pretty
it
cool.
Is awesome.
Yeah.
We definitely have some stupid things that you can do with this deck to infinitely steal everyone's creatures. I don't typically build with infinite combos, but there are some in here because they're just too funny not to use.
That's just a really cool card. I've never seen that one played either. A lot of unique cards in this deck. I love that this one finally got a reprint and is affordable now.
Mm-hmm. What, Send Triplet?
Yeah, everyone's salty about it. I don't think it's worth being salty about. It's a fun deck. I have fun playing it.
Were you playing Send Triplets?
Yeah, I've had a Send Triplets deck for so long. It's literally only Mana Rocks and Paradox Haze.
That's why you were fine with it, because you were playing it.
Yeah, it's all like copy my own enchantments kind of thing to protect myself a bit, but it's pretty much all Mana Rocks and ramps, so I can just play other people's stuff and then ways to clone Send Triplets.
Well, do you want to talk about what Send Triplets does?
Yeah, Send Triplets is super fun. You should build it. It's a real fun group hug deck. Send Triplets is 2, 1 white, 1 blue, 1 black for the most fun card in the game. 3/3 human wizard, at the beginning of your upkeep, choose target opponent. This turn, they can't cast spells or activate abilities and play with their hand revealed. You may play lands and cast spells from that player's hand this turn. You just build this deck, you throw some telepathy in, you get to see everyone's hand. It's a great time.
Here, monster. This card is sweet. It will tilt people, but it's not our commander, which honestly could probably be an easy, like, just swap out. I don't think you'd have to change anything in the deck to really make it
I feel function. Like the deck would be just as fun with Send Triplets commander.
Mm-hmm. It's a cool card. Like, sometimes it's just... I like playing with other people's stuff. I'll just be completely honest. I do, so... I put Send Triplets in this deck. If you don't like it, you don't have to play it, but I'm going to play it. Yeah. Dan will play it.
I'll probably play it. That's one of the reasons I stopped playing Send Triplets is because, again, you just couldn't play it over camera, but I still have it over there in the box.
Yeah.
I have never built a Send Triplets deck.
You should. It's so fun. You can make literally, especially now that it's cheap, you can make literally the most budget chaos themed deck ever. You can spend like maybe $60 on a deck that will just infuriate your whole play group. It's a wonderful time. It's all Mana Rocks. You don't have to worry about like color fixing and everything like that. Like, you just run like all of your, like, you run Signets, you run any of like the Commander Spears, Felwar stuff, any of that stuff. All you want is, you just want to play other people's stuff. It's a great deck. All the time, I have like 30 available mana, and I'm like, what's Lotus got in her hand? You fill it with, just really quickly, side deck tech. You just fill it with stuff like Font of Mythos. You get Horn of Greed, so people, when they play lands, draw cards. You want them to draw cards. It is a group hug deck. Wink, wink.
Oh my god.
Jiripur Orrery, play 2 lands a turn. It's just 2 of other people's lands. Whoops. Man, I love Send Triplets. I'm going to play that deck today.
I'm probably going to do that, honestly. That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, you guys.
I feel sorry for your playgroup.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys have wrecked my playgroup's day. That's on you.
Speaking of Wrecking People's Days, we have Sour Temptation. It's 2 blue-blue for a fairy wizard, 2/2 with flying. When it enters the battlefield, gain control of target creature for as long as Sour Temptation remains on the battlefield.
Love it.
We're going to see that. We're going to see those type of claws with a lot of our creatures, so that's why blinking is so important, because sometimes I'll just steal their creature and then sacrifice it to something to do other things. Or maybe I don't know, just stuff. Sometimes you just got to blink things, right?
I'm looking at the next creature type and just laughing.
The ape snake.
Yeah. Thieving Amalgam, 5 double-black for a 6/7 ape snake, which is a real unique one. Beginning of each opponent's upkeep, you manifest the top. That's so mean, Zach. You manifest the top card of that player's library whenever a creature you control but don't own dies. Its controller, its owner loses 2 and you gain 2. So, man, that would tilt me aggressively.
Yeah, I don't think you'd like me playing this deck.
Oh, man, this would be so fun to just get out on the, like, I would play Scheming Symmetry and be like, yeah, like, we can both go search for a card, it'll be a great time. And then I would just, I would lose my friends immediately. This is a cool card, this is a cool place. Is this from it's the,
That's from the Morph Commander deck.
Kadena.
Mm-hmm.
That's yep. It.
I must have taken this out of Kadena, because I've played Kadena a bunch and never seen this card. I'm going to put it back in. It means it's in here somewhere. It's in one of the piles. The ape snake.
Yeah, it's awesome, because absolute worst case scenario, if it just sets on the battlefield, it pairs with your commander so well. Like,
well, you're getting the top card of everyone's library every turn. Like, you're generating crazy amounts of creatures with it.
Well, yeah, you attack with their manifest. They lose 2, you gain 2. They block it and kill it. They lose 2, you gain 2.
Ooh, and you can also, because it's manifest, you can play their creatures. I like that a lot.
It's 7 mana, but, like, that's fine. That's perfectly fine.
7 mana when you have an Animate Dead? It's nothing.
I don't have Animate Dead in this deck.
What? Who are you?
Blasphemy, where's Zach?
Guys, I told you, there's not a bunch of reanimation
check,
in this
check
deck.
The list for a Village Rites.
Hang on.
There's
There is a Village Rites? All right, it is Zach. He's back.
There's a Village Rites.
I'm still in people's stuff. I'm not going to play a Village Rites. Come on. All right. So someone to take this next card, because I want to take the last creature on this list.
That's fair. So Willbreaker, 3 blue-blue for a human wizard, 2/3. Whenever a creature an opponent controls becomes a target of a spell or ability you control, gain control of that creature for as long as you control Willbreaker. At Breaker. That's gross.
I'm just gonna blink your thing. That's all.
Wait a minute. Is this where all the judge questions came from for over the last week?
Maybe. Man, there's some stuff. There's some stuff in here, guys.
You take this last weird one, Zach.
Alright, so this was the card I bought instead of Panharmonicon, because I really, really wanted to play with this card. It's Xanthar Guild Kingpin.
Ooh, so I as just we read go it. From Please. I haven't seen it.
So as we know from Lotus's tidbit of information, Nihilor actually worked for Xanthar, which is really cool. So it's neat that I put them both in the deck not knowing that. But it's a 4 blue-black for a legendary creature, Beholder. It's a 5/6. At the beginning of your upkeep, choose target opponent. Until end of turn, that player can't cast spells. You may look at the top card of their library anytime. You may play the top card of their library, and you may spend mana as though or any mana of color. You can just play it. Whatever.
Words are hard. Theft is easy. Let's go. Yeah, no, it's centriplets light, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Was that in the deck, or was that in the D&D set?
That was in the D&D set.
I'll have to pick one of
these. Yeah, that's in standard.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a nightmare is standard right now?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know.
It's fine.
I know modern, and that's
it's fine. Everything's fine. Zach,
yeah, this is.
Oh, go ahead.
I just wanted to quickly, like, this is sweet because, like, it's not as feel bad as Centriplets is, because Centriplets is, like, just everything. But at least here, it's nice if you get to be 1v1 too, because you can just for sure close out a game.
Yeah.
Just something to think about.
I'm going to rip through your ramp really quickly, by the way. You go ahead, Lotus.
As I say, the only difference between Xanathar and Centriplets is that Xanathar only stops opponents playing spells in your turn.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't close them out in their turn.
That's fair, yeah. I was wrong about that. But it's still sweet. Yeah, go through a ramp. I think there's one card we're going to have to talk about.
That's the same as Send Triplets. Send Triplets is on your turn only. They can't cast their spells.
Oh, okay. I thought that was in their turn.
No, that'd be crazy.
I don't play Send Triplets.
Grow up. Grow up, Lois. Oh, man, Send Triplets is fun.
I was a good person. I just say I don't play that card.
All right, let me rip through this ramp quick.
Sure.
Arcane Signet, Azorius Signet. We have Command Sphere, Dimir Signet, Obelisk of Esper, which taps for one of each. We have Orzhov Signet, Soul Ring. Now you go through your last three sec.
All right, first one is Core Cartographer. It's 3W for a Core Scout 2/2. When it ETBs, you search your library for a Planes card, put it onto the battlefield tapped, and shuffle your library. This is just good, wholesome ramp in white. We have Solemn Simulacrum. It's a 4-cost artifact creature golem. It's a 2/2. When it ETBs, you search your library for a basic land card, put it on the battlefield tapped. When it dies, you may draw a card. And the card that's probably going to make a lot of people upset, it's Peregrine Drake. It's 4W for a Drake. It's a 2/3 with flying, but when it ETBs, you may untap up to 5 lands.
Great card. Easy to go infinite with.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It just is. I want to do a lot of stupid things in this deck. Like, that can just be used to really just, like, extend your turn. But yeah, with another card in here, yep, it can
I just looked. It's on the list.
It is. Whatever. I always play fair. Sometimes I just don't want to play fair.
Yeah, sometimes you have to just have a little bit of fun.
So let's talk about Blink, because that's another very important asset of this deck. The first card in our section of Blink is Brago, King Eternal. It's 2W for a legendary creature, Spirit Noble, 2/4 flyer. When it deals combat damage to a player, exile any number of target non-land permanents you control, then return those cards to the battlefield under their owner's control.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. I like hitting people, and this allows me to reset my board in a unique way, so any of the cool theft cards that we have are going to go off again, or maybe some of the other Blink cards we have in this list.
Agent of Treachery, Nihilor.
Draw three cards.
Yeah. Using my creatures to tap to take my creatures with Nihilor? What monster?
It's fun.
Yeah. I really like the next one, too. You don't really see it too much, but I think it has a ton of great utility. Charming Prince, 1W for a 2/2 human noble. When it enters, you choose one. You scry 2, you gain 3 life, or you exile another target creature you control, return to the battlefield, beginning of the next end step. I really, really like that card.
Yeah. The next one's my favorite more than anything is the Conjurer's Closet.
Great
5-mana artifact. At the beginning of your end step, you may exile target creature you control, then return that card to the battlefield under your control. Which is great wording, because you can steal something temporarily due to some effect of your card, but then you blink it with Conjurer's Closet.
Oh, it does come back
under
to you.
Your control.
I actually didn't know that ruling of it, because I only blink my own things, but that's actually really neat.
Yeah, if you blink someone else's thing.
Yeah, generally under its owner's control is the wording. That's very neat.
Yeah. This and Thassa's Oracle are worded under your control.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's really silly. I knew that one. it's so cool.
I didn't know that one. Like I said, I've never run into a situation where someone's blinking someone else's thing. That's very, very cool.
Yeah,
there are some situations I've ran into where it's been like, ah, man, it'd be really cool if I could just blink there. Oh, I can. Never mind, it's still mine.
Deadeye has the same thing. I didn't know that wording either. So interesting. Lots of these ones. Deadeye is your infinite bounce card, obviously, with Peregrine. You've got 4W for anyone who doesn't know, for 5/5 spirit. It's Soul Bond. When it enters, you can pair it with an unpaired creature. As long as it's paired with another creature, each of them has pay 1W, exile this creature, then return to the battlefield under your control. So again, you can take something like my Dockside Extortionist and also Mega Blink it and keep... I really, really like that interesting, very, very small wording ruling. Look at me learn stuff.
So you can use Deadeye with Peregrine Drake to generate infinite mana. Obviously arbitrarily large mana, I should say. And that's awesome. But also, it's just kind of such a good card to put in this deck. Even if you just use it fairly, it's the value is just too good. Being able to multiple blink Agent of Treachery seems very, very good. Same thing for like Sower or even Phyrexian Infiltrator can do some weird stuff.
Yeah, you have a lot of really, I guess, yeah, if you put, because you should be able to put the exchange on the stack and then blink your card. It comes back in. It's not a target, but you still exchange.
Mm-hmm. That's how I understood it. And it's stupid. I just want to be very confusing and people have to be like, oh, I have to ask a judge about this.
Deadeye is really fun. If you have like anything you want to blink, Deadeye is just kind of a given. It gets a bit of a bad rap because of like competitive players and like people who specifically put it in to be like, I am going to bounce Dockside Extortionist endlessly.
Mm-hmm.
All I can think is my inbox is going to get even bigger now.
Zach did this. Is this right? Yes.
Judge.
Lotus, you want to talk about this next card? Because I know you champion it a lot and we're of like mind for that.
So, Eerie Interlude, 2 and a white for an instant. Exile any number of target creatures you control. Return those cards to the battlefield under their owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. And yeah, this is one of the cards I like because it is a budget Teferi's Protection-esque style card.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's going to board wipe, exile your creatures, and they come back at the end step. So they're not going to come back before it resolves.
Yeah, it's rough if somebody is trying to deal with your nonsense if you have all their creatures, so whatever will blow the board, and then you're just like, nah, not mine.
Yeah.
Eerie Interlude's a great card.
Because it's exiled, you get all your ETBs again.
Yep.
Which just makes things worse.
I will gladly I'll gladly Eerie Interlude and let everyone have their creatures for the moment until mine re-enter and then take everything back. And then get, you know, more ETBs. We couldn't be playing a blink deck without Ephemerate. It's 1 white for an instant. You exile a target creature you control, then return to the battlefield under its owner's control, and it has rebound, so it's just going to do it again.
Yep.
That's good. That's good.
Same with Felidar Guardian, 3 and a white for a 1/4 cat beast. When it enters, exile another target permanent you control, return to the battlefield under its owner's control.
There's 100% definitely not another card that this combos with in this deck.
Yeah, if you have, especially Alter the Brood, you got another good infinite one there.
That's not in here, but there is something else that I think is kind of fun.
I've always thought this is a weird artwork card, too.
It reminds me of kind of like if aliens crossed with angels.
Reminds me of the nightmares I have every night. No, it's such an interesting card, Flicker Wisp. It's 1 double white. When it enters, exile another target permanent. Return it to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. Great card. Really, really good to get rid of something that has crazy big counters on it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because counters don't come back.
They do not. That's only with, whatchamacallit? What's it? Ubilet. Those type effects.
Yeah.
Yeah, phasing.
Yep, there you go. This next card is sweet. It's Glorious Protector. It's 2 white-white for an Angel Cleric 3/4 with Flash and Flying. When it ETBs, you may exile any number of non-angel creatures you control until it leaves the battlefield, and you can foretell it for 2 and a white.
Great card.
So this is just another good anti like board wipe type thing. I have it under the blink section. It could also be under the interaction section, but mainly how I look at it is like I'll flash in Glorious Protector for a board wipe, or maybe I just need to literally reset all of my triggers to extend my turn. Okay, cool. I'll do that and swing or something silly and just try to get rid of this and reset everything. It's fun.
I really like the next one. I have to take that one. Soul Herder, the 1 white, 1 blue. I've always loved this card. It's obviously Seb McKinnon artwork, so it's really beautiful as a card. 1/1 spirit, whenever a creature is exiled from the battlefield, put a 1/1 counter on Soul Herder and the beginning of your end step. You may exile another target creature you control, then return it to the battlefield under its owner's control. It's great in this kind of deck. It gets big just on its own, and it does everything you want in this deck.
Yeah, yep. And the artwork is disturbingly beautiful.
Yeah, right? I love it.
I have no clue. It's awesome. I could give you details of what I think it is, but it just wouldn't make any sense.
Though, the next one I'm actually playing in my standard deck, because doing this with Skyclave Apparition is beautiful. It's Teleportation Circle, 3 and a white for an enchantment. At the beginning of your end step, exile up to 1 target artifact or creature you control, then return that to the battlefield under its owner's control.
Great card.
So it just blinks every turn. It's specifically creature or artifact, but it's really good.
Yeah, so if you have like an artifact that maybe untaps your stuff that you're using to steal things, it's pretty good.
I'll let you take the next one too, Zach. I really like this card. You cannot companion it, sadly, unless you're really cheating, but...
Yep. It's another awesome card out of Ikoria. It's Yoron, Sky Nomad. It's 3 hybrid white-blue, white-blue. It's a bird serpent legendary creature, 4/5. It has companion. We're not doing that. It has flying. And when it ETBs, you exile any number of other non-land permanents you own and control. Return those cards to the battlefield at the beginning of your next end step.
Love it.
This is amazing because it hits everything that we not only own, but take. Because we control them.
I like it.
We're just doing really, mean things.
Yeah, so you own and control. Okay. That's still a good card. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are our blink section. So we got through our Theth and blink, and now we're going to get into what I titled tech. So this is going to be some of our payoff for stealing or blinking or to continue to help just generate our stuff forward to maybe help close out games. The first card I'm definitely taking.
Mm-hmm.
It's Acerak the Archlich. It's 2 and a black for a legendary creature, zombie wizard, 5/5. When it ETBs, if you haven't completed Tomb of Annihilation, return Acerak the Archlich to its owner's hand and venture into the dungeon. And when Acerak the Archlich attacks, for each opponent, you create a 2/2 black zombie creature token unless that player sacrifices a creature.
Great card.
So 5/5 for 3 is already amazing rates. I don't really care about the second clause. It's the first clause.
Getting into the dungeon with it.
Mm-hmm. Because if I understand correctly, if it ETBs, right, and we've already ventured into the dungeon, we just move forward.
Yeah, venture is create a dungeon. If you've already created one, move a room.
So let's talk about some things. Let me just pull some cards real quick, because we have 3 dungeons we can venture through, right?
Yeah. We have great utility on it.
We have Lost Mine of Phandelver, we have Dungeon of the Mad Mage, and we do have Tomb of Annihilation. So if we play Tomb of Annihilation, he's not going to come back to our hand. It's just going to go in and venture forward. But let's say we have some way to...
Oh, no, he'll still come back unless you've completed the tomb.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah.
Either
way, what we're doing is I want to basically go through an entire dungeon multiple times. So let's say I have Peregrine Drake and I can blink Peregrine Drake multiple times to be able to untap lands. I can just infinitely go through dungeons mm-hmm. to, I don't know, generate a lot of value or maybe just kill the entire table if I feel like it, which is very easy to do with some of these.
I personally think the dungeons bring just a ton of utility, like the ability to venture into one of 3 cards of what you need is really, really good. And him auto-returning himself is awesome.
Yeah. So I had to go through 5 different LGSs to find this thing, and I'm excited because I really want to play with this guy, and I really want to do stupid, stupid things with it. It's sweet. It's very convoluted to do the things that I want to do, and that's what I'm here for.
Ooh, I love the next one.
Well, go ahead and take it.
Amanatu the Fate Shifter. A planeswalker that can be your commander. It is 1 white, 1 blue, 1 black for starting loyalty of 3. +1, draw a card, then put a card from your hand on top of your library. Great to just stack your deck how you want. -1, exile another target permanent you own, then return it to the battlefield under your control, which is the Felidar Sovereign combo, because you can just continue doing that. And then 6, choose left or right. Each player gains control of all non-land permanents other than Amanatu, Fate Shifter, controlled by the next player in the chosen direction. I really like that one.
I've done it once, and I was talking about before we started going over this deck, was I had an Amanatu deck, and originally I was going to rebuild Amanatu, then Nihilor kind of stopped me from doing that. I built this instead, but I ultimated Amanatu once, and my playgroup hated me for it. So it's in the deck. It could also be your commander with how Amanatu gives you payoffs. It could also easily just swap out. I don't think you lose any way the deck functions if you were to do that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I have nightmares of this card. The artwork is amazing. The lore behind Amanatu is disturbing, but she's very good.
Yes. So some really fun tech for this deck, because of how Nihilor operates, we definitely want creatures with higher power so we can steal whatever we want. So Cathar's Crusade is going to help us get there. It's 3 white-white for an enchantment. Whenever a creature ETBs under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. So by blinking creatures, by just playing creatures, whatever, we're going to be able to amass a fair amount of plus one counters on creatures. Obviously, we're going to want to have, you know, multiple creatures that are large that we constantly want to tap to steal things, or we just beat people to death with our commander. Like, there are multiple options, but really Cathars Crusade's in here to make creatures big to steal whatever we want on the battlefield at any given time.
Yep. I love that card just in general.
Mm-hmm. I really thought it was going to be more expensive than what it was, because it's been a while since I bought a Cathars Crusade, so
I think it was just reprinted in what was the big one? Or no, Jumpstart.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love when they reprint cards like that, because Cathars Crusade just does go in so many decks. You have mm-hmm. Corpse Knight as well. The right mm-hmm. one, not the wrong one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
yeah.
One white, one black for Zombie Knight. Whenever another creature enters under your control, each opponent loses a life. So again, if you're blinking things, you really want to be able to drain people. You need to close games out, right?
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be a deck of mine if there wasn't some type of attrition in here.
Yep.
Just speaking of attrition,
right there. Yeah,
Grammar. 3 black for 2/4 zombie. When it ETBs, each opponent loses X life, where X is a devotion to your devotion to black, and you gain X life for the amount of life lost this way. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Once again, we just sometimes need to close out games. Like, being able to just blink Gary multiple times is going to do that. Or if you're, you know, been getting hit and hated on a lot because you've been stealing things, this will just help you get hated even more, but, you know, probably live to continue the game on.
That happens, right?
Then the next one, though, is a card that I think should see more play than it actually does.
Agreed.
Hidden Stockpile, white and a black enchantment with Revolt. At the beginning of your end step, if a permanent you controlled left the battlefield this turn, create a 1/1 colorless servo artifact creature token, and then pay 1, sack a creature, scry 1. It's just good value.
Mm-hmm. We're definitely going to get Hidden Stockpile to go off, so having blockers is going to be super important, because like I said, we're playing a deck that people, once people realize what's going on, they're not going to like this deck. Mm-hmm. Or they might just, like, if all the creatures we've stolen have suddenly been, like, dealt with, we need to be able to just kind of get in and smash face to help close out games. So having those servos and, like, something like Cathars Crusade, our servos are going to get kind of big after a while. So just being able to block or attack is super important. And the added ability of being able to pay 1 to sack a creature to scry 1. If we want to steal someone's commander that's problematic and then sacrifice it to scry 1, that's probably fine.
I like that.
Yeah.
You've got your fast boots, Swiftfoot boots.
You have to go have a good pair of shoes.
Hexproof and haste, yeah. Fashionable shoes. Sword of the Perons is an interesting one for this, but you're going to get a lot of value out of it with, like, Beguiler of Wills kind of effects. And, like,
exactly. Marik,
yeah. 4 mana for an equipment, as long as equipped creatures tapped. Tapped creatures you control get 2-0. As long as it's untapped, they get 0-2, which also really does help with your commander's power overall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then it has pay 3, you can tap or untap and equip 3.
Yeah, there are definitely, like, I'm going to play all 3 of the bounce lands in this deck, so Peregrine Drake can do a lot, but just being able to potentially steal the entire board mm-hmm. is really, really funny,
yep.
in my opinion. People might not like that, but, like, I think it's hilarious to steal everything.
Like I said, game's got to end. The next one I also wanted to take, because I was reading it, and it's actually a card I've never seen played a single time in any game. That's strange to me. It's Toshiro Umeziwa. It's 1 black for a legendary creature, human samurai, Bushido 1, 2/2. Whenever a creature an opponent controls is put into a graveyard from play, you may play target instant in your graveyard. If that card will be put into your graveyard this turn, removed from the game instead. I think that's actually a really, really interesting card, and I kind of just want to make a deck out of it now and just play a ton of annoying removal.
I've played against this deck. And I can tell you, it's very difficult to play against.
Yeah, because it seems kind of Kess-esque.
Yeah, the person I was playing with had it as their commander. They had basically token generation sack outlets. Mm-hmm. But the deck was just full of kill spells. Just full of kill spells.
Well, so they'd, like, that's what I'm looking at. I'm like, Doomblade, and then I'll Doomblade again.
Yeah.
So we had definitely have some spells we want to be able to replay multiple times, but what's really nice, shout out to Cabal Coffee, because I actually got a full art version of this card and I've been wanting to find a deck that this worked with, and I felt this would be a deck where, like, I'm going to jump a little bit ahead, like, I have something like Ink Shield in here. Mm-hmm. You know, if
love it.
If we're love it. Yeah, for lack of a better term, if we're shields down and we have nothing to do and people are going to attack at us, Ink Shield being able to, like, all right, I'm going to sacrifice a creature to Hidden Stockpile, and I'm going to play, or sorry, not Hidden Stockpile, but I block a creature that someone's attacking and it dies, and then I Ink Shield or something like that. You know, like, just being able to recast a card is going to be really big.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Ink Shield is possibly one of my favorite cards of the year. I just am in love with that card. Also, I mean, for anyone who's listening, somebody message me to build Toshiro Umeziwa, because I want to build it, and I will forget because I have a short attention span. But I really want to build this deck.
I mean, it didn't stop you last time when you were building Wolfgar on stream.
Yeah, but I was more excited for Wolfgar.
But no, I like Arachnogenesis, and Ink Shield is just another perfect card.
Yeah, the better version.
So the last card on our tech section is Vizier of the Many Faces. It's 2 blue-blue for a 0/0 shapeshifter cleric. When it ETBs, you may have it as a copy, come in as a copy of any creature on the battlefield, except it keeps its name. And if it was embalmed, it comes back as a white zombie in addition to its other types, and it embalms for 3 blue-blue. Just another solid thing we can blink.
Yep.
Have multiple copies of things.
Multiple other good ETB doublers, yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we're getting into the final stretches of this deck. We have card draw and interaction. We're going to get into card draw. First card is Callous Blood Mage. It's 2 and a black for a Vampire Warlock, 2/1. When it ETBs, you choose one. You create a 1/1 black and green pest creature token with, when this creature dies, you gain 1 life. You draw a card, you lose 1 life, or you exile a target player's graveyard. I have it in the card draw section, just like kind of how Agent of Treachery is. It could go in many different areas, but
great utility.
Yeah, I mainly just put it in because of, like, most of the effects I'm going to use, I'm not going to want to use outside of draw a card and lose a life.
I mean, having the exile target player's graveyard is a good panic button.
Very much so.
Love Cerulean Wisps as well. Love all of the artwork from this set. Beautiful.
Shadow Maw.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One blue instant target creature becomes blue until end of turn. Untap it. Phenomenal with your deck and draw a card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No downside to that.
Like, I normally put Opt in a lot of my blue decks because I just like the one blue instant draw a card. And this just seems a little bit more thematic and feels a little bit better, because untapping one of our creatures so that we can get another trigger off Nihilor and drawing a card just seems good.
Yep. Well, or the ability to get like Marique triggers off or Willbreaker triggers off, right? It fits this mm-hmm. deck's theme really well, and it's just a great card.
Yeah.
Also, another great card, another one, Cloudblazer, 3, 1 white, 1 blue, Flying Human Scout. When it enters, gain 2 life, draw 2 cards. Again, an awesome card in a blink deck.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big draw, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just the incidental life gain is stupid.
I'm going to go on a limb and say you need a Panharmonicon still. You got a lot of ETB in here.
Oh, I know. I could take out a card for sure, but it was Xanthar or Panharmonicon.
Looking at it though, it is a interesting list. Like, you'd have to find everything kind of fits right now. You know, there's nothing that's screamed like, ah, this is trash, take it out. It's all kind of been on theme. There's nothing bad I've seen yet, really. Like, I really like where your head's at with this list, right? So what you take out would be a hard cut to make, I think. Mm-hmm. For me, it would be Land.
Yeah.
Of course.
And you're a monster.
I run this at 29. Let's go.
Speaking of monsters, we have Esper Sentinel. It's 1 white for a human scout or human soldier artifact creature. It's a 1/1. And whenever an opponent casts their first non-creature spell each turn, draw a card unless that player pays X, where X is Esper Sentinel's power.
I mean, that, so, and Karthus Crusade would be very good.
Exactly. You're going to get card draw at some point. And I like Esper Sentinel a lot more than Rhystic Study. I just do. This one doesn't... I don't feel as dirty of a person by playing Esper Sentinel.
I like the next one a lot. Grazilax, the Ithalid Scholar. It's a 2/3 horror for 1 blue-blue. And whenever a creature you control becomes blocked, you may return it to its owner's hand. Whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, draw a card. I've seen this now going in ninja decks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But this card, I'm tempted to build it as a commander.
It's a very sweet card. Like, having reconnaissance mission stapled on a creature is awesome. But also, once again, like, it really makes people, like, do I really want to block this hostage taker? Or do I just want to let the two damage go through? Can mm-hmm. I afford to let Dermotaxi attack, you know? Like, it's stuff like that. That's the kind of, that's really what I want out of this deck is, do I want to let them, do I want to let Zach replay the creature that he is going to replay? Are you getting mind flayered over there, Dan?
Yes, I was. I love the artwork on it. we got to get back to videos. People should see how stupid I am in them. Next, we have Moldrifter, which, again, I love this card. I just like evoking it. It's done a ton of work in the Obika deck I just put together. Evoke is so good with that. It's 4 and a blue for an elemental 2/2 flying. When it enters, draw 2 cards or evoke it for 3. Great card. And again, you can blink it in response to its enter. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Next card on the list is Phyrexian Vault. It's 3 for an artifact. You can pay 2, tap it, and you sacrifice a creature and you draw a card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Avacyn doesn't need to be on the field for anyone. I'm going to take it, I'm going to sack it, and I'm going to draw a card.
Yeah.
And then Dermotaxi it.
Well, you can, especially if you're taking so much stuff of other people's. If you're taking so many things of other people's, you always are going to have fodder for sacrificing. Mm-hmm. And you have a lot of creatures that kind of doesn't really matter if you sack. Like, I like that. Solid card in the deck.
Yeah, like, Esper is probably the best at removal for all the colors, I would say.
Esper's and the best at when just we being get... a bad friend deck.
For sure. When we get to removal, I really only have 2 targeted removal. So I'm really wanting to, like, feed things to Phyrexian Vault and a Helm of Possession and stuff like that, because the value is just dumb. Yeah, I'll pay 2 to sacrifice the creature I stole from you to draw a card. Like, that's fine.
Reconnaissance Mission, also a great card. 2 double blue, whenever creature you control deals combat damage to a player, draw a card with cycling. Love it. Mm-hmm. I like that one a lot. Lotus, you want to take this next one?
Tombbound Lich, yeah. Mm-hmm. 1 blue black for a zombie wizard, 1/3 with Death Touch and Lifelink. Whenever it enters the battlefield or deals combat damage to a player, draw a card, then discard a card.
I like it.
I like looting quite a bit. This kind of pairs with Dermotaxi in the sense, like, all right, if we need some, you know, like, just filtering through a deck is nice, but also being able to, like, know for sure we're not reanimating anything in this deck, but being able to Dermotaxi if we need to is fine. And drawing a card is super, super good, but the Death Touch Lifelink is also just phenomenal. We can gain back the life that people are going to, they're going to hit us because they're going to be mad at what we're doing, but Cathar's Crusade, like, is going to get real big, and we're just going to gain a bunch of life.
It wouldn't be right if I didn't let you read the next card, Zach.
Last card on the list for card draw is Village Rites. It's 1 black for an instant. As additional cost to cast a spell, sack a creature. You draw 2 cards. All right. I'll tell you guys right now.
At a certain point, I should just put that on the soundboard. That's when we all take our water break. I just hit the Village Rite button.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you guys right now. 9 times, 9.5 times out of 10 in this deck, not sacking the creature that I, you know, that's actually mine. It's going to be yours.
Fair enough.
I'm just trying to find the new one that they printed that you might like. I can't remember. I think it's something like 1 and a black. Deadly Dispute, 1 and a black, instant. As additional cost to cast this spell, sacrifice an artifact or a creature, draw 2 cards, and create a treasure token.
Ooh, that's also good. That should probably go in every deck I play.
Fancy.
So it's like Village Rite's bigger brother.
Yeah.
What's the mana cost on it?
1 and a black, and you get a treasure token in return.
Is it still an instant?
It's still an instant.
Ooh.
Oh.
Zach's going to the store.
Something will come out for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, something will come out for that.
It's right, a common.
Love it. So we're in our last section. There's some lands that I don't have in this deck that I'll quickly touch over when we get there, but we're going to deal with interaction. First one is Austere Command. It's 4 white for a sorcery. You choose 2. Destroy all artifacts, destroy all enchantments, destroy all creatures with CMC 3 or less, or destroy all creatures with... I said CMC, gosh. Wait, yeah, CMC Ooh. 3 or less, or CMC 4 or greater.
Who are you, Dan?
No, it's CMC. You all know.
Yeah, we know. It's just good removal.
I like it.
So, someone take this next card?
Yeah, Cosmic Intervention is another one of those ones I really love. 3 and a white for an instant. If a permanent you control would be put into a graveyard from the battlefield this turn, exile it instead. Return it to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step, and Fatale for 1 and a white.
Already needs a reprint. Great card.
Yeah, I love it. I love it so much. Please wipe my board. buddy. I'll reset all my triggers. I'm fine with that.
Counterspell, good old-fashioned, just counterspell. Good old no.
Yeah, good old modern card.
Double blue, counter target spell. What more could you want? Other also than, will. Yeah, Dovin's Veto, which is 1 and a blue, and this spell can't be countered. Counter target non-creature spell.
I've learned with playing with Dan, I have to have this card in a deck.
That's fair. I interact. I run interaction. What can I say?
This yeah, is a, hence why I run so much now.
The next one is a really, really good card. You can take that one, Zach, but it's super, super good. Love it.
So we have an enchantment called Equilibrium. It's 1 blue-blue. It says whenever you play a creature spell, you may pay 1. If you do, return target creature to its owner's hand.
So annoying. Love it.
It's yep. great. You can, if you guys aren't going to reset my board for me, I'll reset my board. That's fine.
I used to play this in my Uro deck.
That's actually good.
That's bad. That's real, real bad.
I like to, I run it in my Fibblethip deck, and I just return Fibblethip.
Aww.
I know who I am as a person.
We know.
The next one, by the way, Akoria had a great story.
This is very sad.
Yeah. Heartless Act, 1 and a black. Instant. Choose 1, destroy target creature with no counters on it. Remove up to 3. Language is hard. Remove up to 3 counters from target creature. And then the flavor text is, it's them or us, General Kudrow. And he's just going to kill, I think that's Luca's buddy.
I think if I remember correctly in the story, he makes Luca do it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then everyone's wondering why Luca's running around being a dick. Woo.
Yeah, because Luca doesn't have it in the next set. He's got the fox.
Oh.
I might be wrong.
No, I'm looking at this. John, we're going to do some Akoria lore next episode, if anyone's wanted to message John that. The next one, we have Ink Shield. Again, one of my absolute favorite cards of the year, if not my favorite. I love this card. I wish its CMC was a little bit lower, but it couldn't be at how powerful it is. It's 3, 1 white, 1 black. Prevent all combat damage that we dealt to you this turn. For each 1 damage prevented, create a 2/1 white and black Inkling creature token flying. This is a game-ending card. It is brutal, especially with so many Voltron decks coming. We have, like, Arden Rograkh. We have, like, Wyleth decks, Gallia decks. Like, there's just a ton of huge Voltron commanders. They've been printing so many good auras, so many good equipments, and people are really, really hitting you with damage right now. And a 2-for-1 on it. Hey, I'm going to hit you for 80 with my Double Strike Rafik. I will make 160 2/1 flyers, and hope to God someone doesn't have a Suture Priest on the board. Like, this is just such a phenomenal card. It's in these colors, it's pretty easy to hold up so much. Zach generally is going to have like a Phyrexian Altar and 80 creatures in these colors anyways. So like it's pretty easy to get the mana for it. I love everything Ink Shield does. It's a late game card, but it really, really can close out. And I just love that it only prevents it to you. So it's not like Fog. You don't have to save the table with it and stuff. This is a game-ending card. This isn't a card to make friends.
Yeah, I've actually seen an Elfball deck use Craterhoof Behemoth and then get this put against them.
Oh, I've rocked Ink Shield against people, and it's just so fun. I love the Silverquill deck. Yeah. Inklings are like one of my favorite creature token types.
Yeah, I definitely hope we see more love for them. They're really, really cool.
The next card is annoying. Just annoying.
I love this card because this is actually one of my pauper decks.
Well, it's annoying. That's what it is. I want you all to know that.
Reality Acid, 2 and a blue for an enchantment aura that enchants a permanent. It has Vanishing 3, and when it leaves the battlefield, the permanent's controller sacrifices it.
Animals, so, because you're in a blink deck that you can just sit here and blink things. Animals. Animals, every one of you.
Yeah, this is a good pauper deck.
You're really fun to just do on people's lands. I get it. I understand, but you're all monsters.
All I'm saying is, Dan, just don't put me to that point and we're fine.
Exactly.
I will destroy all your lands.
Yeah.
One by one.
Telling you that was a bad call in games. Yeah. Bad threat assessment, Zach. Well, now you have no lands. What do you want me to say?
Shouldn't have been pissy.
No, I really like this deck. I love Esper in general, and I think you went a really, really cool direction with this.
Thank you. I was very excited about this deck. Like I said, I was going to rebuild Amanatu, but and granted, there's a lot of Esper commanders in this deck that you could actually just swap Nihilor out with, and I feel like it would be perfectly fine. The deck would still function as I intended, and it would still be good. But Nihilor just fits the playstyle of what I like to do a little bit more than what Amanatu does, because I can steal people's stuff.
You could still run this with Amanatu as well.
No, that's what I was saying. Yeah, like Sin Triplets, Amanatu, and Nihilor are easily interchangeable in this deck. I don't feel like you would have to make any changes to this deck. Same thing for Marik. Like,
oh yeah,
all three of those you could switch between these commanders whenever you felt like it and not have to change a single thing about this deck outside of like, oh well, I'm going to play Sin Triplets this time as my commander.
Yeah,
and it would still function exactly the same.
I do like the ability of a lot of your decks to have that variety. I don't really have alternate commanders in a lot of mine. It is pretty much this is the game plan. Like, you can't change Wolfgar out to something else, or that deck just sucks. And it's just a trash deck that has Ulamog in it.
It's very true. it was somewhat unintentional, and then I started realizing it, and I started kind of, I didn't sacrifice, I don't feel like, any kind of playability by building it this way, because I just think everything functions very well together. So it's easily, like, you can still get very different gameplay styles with any of these commanders swapped around, but I intended for Nihilor to be the guy.
Yeah.
Normally I like to go, like I told you guys, normally I like to go through and put in all my lands. I hadn't yet, but the one thing that I do want to talk about, there is one specific land, and you should definitely keep these kind of lands in mind. It's Arcane Lighthouse. It's a normal land, and you can tap it to add a colorless, or you can pay one and tap it. Until end of turn, creatures your opponents control lose hexproof and shroud and can't have hexproof or shroud. Those type of effects are going to be very important in this deck. I wanted to put stuff like Glaring Spotlight and Shadow Spear and that kind of stuff to steal people's things, but like you said, Dan, I had such a hard time like trimming and trying to get this deck to be functional to the point like I couldn't cut anything, because I felt like every single card, if I cut it, the deck got objectively worse.
Well, because you have so much thematic steel, but you also have to remember that you're gonna kind of salt your friends with this, so you got to protect yourself a bit. So you've got good answers, you have like some good interaction and protection and stuff, but like, yeah, like, you don't really know. You don't want to run less theft, because that's the point of the deck, right? You can't not protect yourself. You don't want to run out of card draw. Like, I think you really, really balance this one very well.
Yeah, so our utility lands are going to be important. So maybe I'll do like a screenshot on like the utility lands once I have them where I feel like they're good, and I'll post it on our Instagram and Twitter so you guys can see it. But stuff like Arcane Lighthouse is going to be really important. We have another land that's like that. I think it's Desolate Lighthouse. It's another land that makes people lose Hexproof and Shroud.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's
just Hexproof, I think, but I can't remember what it is.
It's another lighthouse. I know that.
Yeah.
So that's just the kind of stuff in mind. If you want to build this deck, obviously you want to make sure you have your colored sources, and you want to make sure you actually are running the bounce lands in this deck, because with something like Peregrine Drake, even if you're not going infinite, being able to untap
your three, two mana producers are dope.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So just stuff to keep in mind. There are some great utility lands that this deck needs. I just haven't settled on exactly what those are yet.
That's fair. I really, really like the list. It'll be obviously the list will be in the show notes, like it always is when we do a deck tech. But I just think that it's a very solid deck. It looks fun. It does kind of suck that you wouldn't be able to play it realistically on spell table unless you wanted to just really draw a bunch of cards and try to get sponsored by Infinity Tokens.
Right.
Send us cards already. What are you doing?
Something to keep in mind, too, it's a very budget-friendly deck. Like, looking up without basic lands, it's saying it's $193.89 in US dollars.
Yeah, and very
even
solid.
Even that seems kind of, I don't know, seems kind of expensive still.
I feel like you can cut some of it down. Like, even if you took out your the Zancha one, the Is that what is it? Yeah, Xanathar, sorry. Like, that's like 11 of the dollars already and stuff. I think I think Agent of Treachery is $8. Esper Sentinel's how much?
17.
Yeah, so like, you could trim it down to a more budget, but I think that that's like a pretty good budget to play. It is for me.
Yeah, I think it's really reasonable, honestly, and I think it's a very powerful deck. It's a lot of fun. I really like playing with other people's cards. So,
well, these things, they scale really well, right? Like, that's the if you're playing against like other budget decks, like, you're stealing their creatures and stuff. But if you're playing against like someone who's running like a balls to the wall like Animar deck playing Eldrazi Titans and stuff, being able to take their Eldrazi Titans and stuff, you really are scaling to the tail of whatever you're playing. It's kind of like when you're playing clones, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How can they be mad?
Yeah, they're only going to be facing what they would be playing against you.
I hate this deck. It's your Jinja Taxes. What are you doing?
Right. This is a good... I think this is also a good tastemaker for what's going on. So, like, if you constantly play against a deck that you feel like is really, really volatile on your meta, play a deck like this, or play a deck that is like a clone tribal deck, and play their own cards against them, and then be like, this is how we feel as a group. Do you understand now?
My meta is full of animals who are just super chaos decks right now. I think I've seen Possibility Storm in the last 17 games I've played.
Oh my god, every time I play against you and your brother, as soon as I see Possibility Storm or Thieves Auction, I audibly groan because I hate that stuff so much. That's why I don't play it.
I was told to take those decks apart.
Oh yeah, we don't do that. We just keep playing them. Ooh, I've basically nagged my LGS to do Mega Commander for the next one, so if you're in this area, I think we're doing a Mega Commander next Friday, and also on the 20th, and that's just like a big, huge, like, 30 people playing Commander, $5 entry fee, get a ton of store credit, have a ton of fun.
The game is that where you can only affect the person immediately on your left and right?
No. So front. You get two players. So vision is two left, two right of you, and you only get prizing for killing the person to your left. So if you're to my left, Zach's to my left, and I have something that kills Zach, you get Zach's $5 entry fee, not me, even though I killed him. But if I have it on the stack where I, like, fireball Zach, copy the fireball, it kills you, that resolves, you die, then Zach dies, I get both. It's very, very fun.
Mm.
Man, I love Mega Commander.
Sounds like a nightmare.
No, so it is really fun because suddenly players just, like, show up and you could be doing not too well, but at least you didn't die because people are pitying you. And then, like, suddenly, like, Zach comes in with, like, his, like, near lore and, like, 80 steel things. And I'm, like, stuck on three lands. I'm like, I'm in danger. Man, I love Mega Commander. Super, super fun. I'll try. If we do end up getting a game of it going on the Friday, it's been really fun now that, like, the people are getting back out playing in person more. We're seeing a lot of new faces. There's obviously, I was talking to our game store owner, a lot of people probably moved and changed places, or just maybe their play groups fell apart during the pandemic. So lots of new faces out to play Magic, which has just been really, really fun to see new people, new deck styles. Like, I've had such a great time, and I'm very excited to show them what a 30-player game of me being a jerk feels like.
Wait. Speaking of that, there has been, even at our LGS down in the UK, people are now venturing out, but there's a lot more new players at the LGS. Like, in our server, Jack from London, he's one of the new players at my LGS. And just seeing new players and new deck styles, new builds, it's really refreshing.
Ooh, I feel like I probably don't have to say it, but I will just say it. If you are one of the people playing at an LGS, don't be afraid to ask people if you can join a pod if you see it. And if you see someone sitting alone, like, say, hey, like, would you like to get into a game? Maybe play a five. Try make it a great experience for them so they want to keep coming out and playing, right? The more people we play with, the more fun we can have.
Yeah. Truth.
Yeah, and I'll end on that. It's so positive. So unlike me. Here we go.
Don't forget our thank yous.
Yeah. Lotus or Zach, one of you, tell them where they can find stuff.
Lotus, go.
Okay, so you can find our one-stop shop at Into the 99, where you can find all our articles, our link to our Discord, so you can brew with us live in chat. You can also get our merch store, our Patreon, and the link to our YouTube channel with all our videos.
Yeah.
Zach?
And of course, thank you for listening or watching. Without you guys, this wouldn't be possible. So I think it's really all I got.
Yeah. Have a great weekend or week. I guess it comes out later. But yeah, have a great week. And let us know if you like to steal people's stuff. What's your favorite thing you've ever stolen? Or do you think Zach's an animal?
Both.
Bye, guys.
See ya.